Well, hi, and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Portia.
And this is Katie.
Guys, today our guest is a new friend to us, and we know that you are going to love her, Amanda Mejias. We are so glad that you're here. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. I am honored that you guys would have me on here.
And I love that you're traveling and visiting Hampton, Virginia with your mom, and yet you still would give up time to come on here.
Absolutely. No, this was a super fun opportunity, and any excuse I can, you know, talk to some other women and about, you know, my story and just hear other women's stories, I'm so game.
I love it. Okay. Amanda has been passionate about equipping the global church since her freshman year of college. She grew up in Hampton, Virginia, then went on to work at her home church while earning her undergraduate and seminary degrees online through Liberty School of Divinity. Ooh, I'm going to have to be asking you about that because that's no easy feat to be and getting degrees. Despite feeling out of place and held back for years, Amanda experienced God taking her ordinary circumstances and decisions to launch her into the unexpected place where her dream to reach the global church became a beautiful reality. Oh my goodness, Amanda. Wow. I love to hear stories of unexpected movements of the hand of God that get people doing what they love. And Gwen told us that your job is the Lifeway Girls Brand Specialist.
Yes, ma'am.
I love that. Listeners, if you don't know what Lifeway is, it's a huge bookstore and ministry.
And publisher, right? They're a publishing company.
Yes, ma'am.
And actually, why don't I let you explain it? Tell us a little bit about what your job is like and what a typical day might be for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Lifeway is a publisher, an incredible company based out of Nashville. They've been there for a very long time. I think their old title was like the Baptist Sunday School Board or something like that. So they've been around a long time. And I started working at Lifeway in the beginning of 2019. So about a year and a half ago is when I started my career at Lifeway. And I'm on the student publishing team. Mm-hmm. And so Lifeway is divided up with different ministries, so adults and kids. I'm on the student publishing team, and my title as Lifeway Girls Brand Specialist is something a little bit newer that I've been doing for about 6 months now, but it is where I get to do all of our teen girl studies. I get to work on them as the content editor, so I work with different authors, kind of just creating the right product, right Bible studies for teenagers, and I also work with our blog and our social media. So every day is different because, you know, Bible studies and curriculum, those projects come and go and they send off to the printer and you start something brand new. So this week, you know, I may be working on one fun project, but it'll go to the printer and I'll start something brand new in a few weeks. So it's been the best. I've just have fallen in love with this field and just the ministry that Lifeway has, and specifically like teenage girls. I am passionate about seeing them know Jesus, but I really love the leaders that serve teen girls. So I think about girls ministers around the country. I think about Sunday school teachers and moms and dads that, you know, they want to disciple their daughters. They want to disciple these teenage girls. So, you know, starting with sixth grade all the way up to 12th grade, coming up with resources to equip them, champion them in their local church. So that's where I get to view, if I like kind of sit back and kind of do like an overview of what my job is, like that is what I get to do. I get to equip, you know, church leaders from all over.
Wow. And I love the way your face glows as you talk about it. And I love your phraseology where you say, I get to do this. You can tell it's not just a job, like, well, I gotta go to work, I gotta make the donuts, you know. It's like, I get to do this.
Oh, I think I tell my boss all the time, they'll like give me a new assignment, they're like, we're so sorry. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is literally like a blessing and a joy that I get to do. So it's just kind of funny. I still can't get over. I've been here for a year and a half, but every day is like,
wow,
I'm excited to wake up and go to work. So
that's amazing. So how did this amazing job that you love so much, how did it come to be yours?
A long process. So a lot of years of praying. So I guess like a big part of my story starts back in 2011. I started working summer camps with part of Lifeway has like an event size. So they do summer camps and women's conferences and adult events. They do all sorts of things. So they have a kids camp called Center Kid. Mm-hmm. And back in 2011, I started my first summer on staff. And it was my first time being exposed to Lifeway's curriculum up close and seeing how they just incorporate the gospel in everything that they do. So if your kids are out playing a rec game, the gospel is going to be presented. If they're painting fingernails, the gospel is going to be presented, you know. And so that was my first time where I was like, wow, like, this is what it means to like put Jesus in everything and champion church leaders who bring their kids to camp. And that's when I feel like God was just like starting to mold this desire in my heart, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like that was the summer where God called me to go to seminary. And I didn't know what that looked like or, you know, at that time, I think I had a bunch of ideas in my head of what it could look like or what that may be. But, yeah, so that's just kind of where the calling was. I did another two summers of Center Kid Camp. I tried to go off to college elsewhere. At this point, I was working, interning at my church, my home church that I grew up in. I didn't go off to school like a normal college kid. Every time I tried, the doors just was shut. So I just worked at the church. I mean, I started working at the church when I was 15 doing like part-time stuff. So by 18, I was full-time. And then by my last summer of Center Kid, the church hired me on as like a campus admin at like one of our multi-site campuses. And that was right after I tried to go off to a college in Tennessee. I was like, I'm going to do camp ministry the rest of my life. Like, this is what I love. And God was like, no. And so anyway, shut that door.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, is that how you knew Susan, honey? Was that the church that Susan yes. worked at that you were?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So Susan was at the church in Hampton mm-hmm. When I was in elementary school. So Susan was my children's director. I went to Center Kid with Susan. I went with her. Like, I think I was in high school and I kind of just helped her take kids to Center Kid.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, and that was my exposure of wanting to even go and be at Center Kid was learning about it through Susan. And wow. Yep, I owe a lot to Susan.
she's amazing.
Okay, I love Portia, her. We just found out why Susan really isn't on here. This dates her.
I like cannot remember her name at all. When Susan did like all these vacation Bible schools, she would like show up as queen. Can't even remember. I want to say a Queen Shakalaka or something like that. I don't even, she would know, but I just will never forget Susan coming in wearing this like amazing, like, you know, costume and her yelling boom shakalaka laka, boom shakalaka laka. So that's my favorite memory of Susan.
And yes, we can picture it.
Yes, I'm sure you can.
And I am teasing, but I love the connection there. I love it. I mean, starting out, you're in the ministry as a kid, but then growing into being the helper and then growing into being an employee. And then, you know, I love it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So keep going. So you're working.
Yeah. So I'm working at Center Kid. I, you know, just have developed a love for Lifeway at this point. But I get this job opportunity to go off or to work at our first multi-site campus as an admin. And I remember the campus pastor at the time offered me this job. And I'm like, you don't understand. Like, this is not what I want to do forever. He's like, yeah, but it can be like a great like stepping stone for you. I'm like, I'm not like made to be an admin. Like, I feel like God's got more for me than this. And he's like, okay, well, you can just do school and work and, you know, and then maybe at that point, like God will have something else for you. So he kind of knew that going into it. I did not expect to be there for 6 years though, as the campus admin.
Okay.
And so actually the last summer of Center Kid, I met my husband. We were both on the same camp team. We did long distance for 2 years. then the church in Hampton actually hired him to come and work as a worship pastor at the same camp as I was. So we were in ministry together. I pursued my undergrad degree. I was like, okay, I'm going to go to seminary. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. And I remember several pastors being like, you're just an admin. Like, why are you going to seminary? Like, you don't need this. And I I feel like God's calling me to more. Like, mm-hmm. I have these hearts and these desires, and I know that I'm made for more than this. I love serving where I am, but like, this is not it for me. Like, this is mm-hmm. This is not the end of the road. I don't want to do this for the next 40 years. mm-hmm. Anyway. And so I would try to pursue a job or pursue anything. Even my husband, every time we try to step through a door on our own, like, God completely shut it. And mm-hmm. so, even like the seminary I wanted to go to, like, that door shut, and I was so confused. So finally I ended up on Liberty Online doing seminary, and it was like, I wanted to do this in person, God. Like, I don't understand. Like, mm-hmm. I wanted the full experience of the classroom. And, but with Liberty, it just made more sense. It was cheaper. I was able to do it quicker because they have 8-week classes. So anyway, I was able to get it all done in 2 years.
Wow.
And I remember my last semester, like, signing up for my classes. And I wasn't supposed to be my last semester. I was supposed to have one more. I was like, well, if I sign up for one extra class for this 8 weeks and two extra for this 8 weeks, I can just be done. Like, not even think about it. So I finished signing up for classes. And I would say not even a month after I signed up for classes, I found out I was pregnant. Mm. And, which was such a God thing, because if I'd gone through another semester, I would have been like having a baby during finals week or something like that. So God knew. And anyway, it was just crazy. And I was like, okay, God, you got me through seminary and now I'm pregnant. I ain't going nowhere now. Like, I don't understand, like, how we could have even gotten this far. And I just remember feeling like really like heartbroken in some ways of feeling like, okay, like, I'm super excited to be a mom, but now I feel like all my dreams are having to come to a stop, and I don't understand why this timing. So I finished seminary, grateful to be finished and pregnant, through the second trimester. And as soon as I finished school, I always kept an eye at Lifeway for jobs, just because of my experience there was so positive working on camp staff. But I didn't know what my place would be. I didn't know where I would fit in. I was never a journalism major. I was not a communications major. I did not have some like great editorial background, but I just kept feeling drawn to there, if that makes sense. And so mm-hmm. I applied for a job. And I knew that I was like, it's August. There's no way. I'm having a baby in November. I'm not moving between now and November. And I'm not going to move after that, because, or at least till my baby's at least 3 months old, because I can't afford to do that. and no one's going to want a pregnant girl to come and move. And so, but I was like, it's good experience. I'll get an interview. Maybe I can see how my resume is. So I did not hear back from Lifeway, but like one time during that fall semester. And that was because they had closed all of their retail stores and they were on a hiring freeze.
Oh.
So I had no idea what was going on at the time, but they were not doing any hiring. I don't get a call. I'm thinking, okay, God, like, that was a waste of time, I suppose. But I put myself out there. So have a baby in November, and in January they finally kind of moved things along. And I think it was like 2 weeks after my like first official interview or second official interview, they offered me the job and asked me to move in 3 weeks. And I moved with an almost 3 month old and left. It was just a crazy thing. So yeah, that's the very long story of how I am here where I am now. That's crazy.
That is crazy. And your husband said, fine, we'll just move. And he had to get a different job. And
yeah, He was always felt like God was calling him to pursue music in the sense of he's a guitar player. And so, I mean, where, what better place to
than Nashville? Yeah.
Than Nashville.
Yeah.
And so that was something that I feel like honestly drew us together, is that Nashville kind of was a place that we both wanted to end up one day. Didn't know how we were going to get here, what that would look like. But yeah, so I mean, I remember telling him when they offered me the job officially, he just was in tears, because it was like, for so long, we just wondered, God, what are you doing? Like, right, why are we right. here? Like, we want to be obedient to you. We want to be faithful. And it was like, for the first time in 6 years, we saw God say, this is what I was waiting to give you.
Now.
You know, like,
right.
This,
right.
this
right.
is yeah. what I've been preparing you for. And it was the most, like, I mean, I don't recommend, you know, leaving the only job, the only family, the only church you ever knew, selling a house with a 3-month-old, moving across to a different state. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. It wasn't mm-hmm. easy at all to follow the Lord in this. But man, it was so worth it. And it was so clear that it was from him.
I was wow. just going to ask, you had just an overwhelming confidence that,
oh, yeah.
this is it. And he's taking me through all these other experiences to shape and prepare. And, mm-hmm. and this is it. So go do it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, wow. it was so clear from him every time. I mean, those weeks leading up to not hearing from anything from Lifeway and until the point that they called me, those weeks, it was like, well, it wasn't meant to be. Like, we, mm-hmm. you know, finances, it wouldn't make sense for you to go from a husband to go from a full-time worship pastor to a freelance musician. Like, no, on paper, that doesn't make sense, right?
Right,
like,
right,
you just don't
right.
do that. You know, we have a baby. Like, what are we going to do with her? And I mean, everything.
What about medical insurance? What about?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we, and every time that we got fearful. Like, I mean, like that fear that you feel like I can't move forward. Like there's no way, like the doubt, we would just stop and we would pray. And I'm not even joking. Whether it was like God speaking through his word or a sermon or a message, like God would be just so clear about like, you know, like, do you trust me? Like, am I enough? Like, have you, you know, you said that you, you know, this is like, I've called you, like, are you going to follow now that I, you know, that you hear this voice? So,
I just read the best quote about doubts this morning. I probably won't say it right, but it's something like, doubts are the ants in your pants of faith that cause you to jump forward, you know,
wow.
something like that. But
still, I got the picture.
You get the picture, like it's the ants in your pants.
Yeah.
You know, like
you're just so antsy.
What? What?
Uh-huh.
But true faith is okay. Okay. Yeah. I got these doubts. And I'm like, God, where are you? What are you doing?
Oh, totally.
But yet, faith and then moving forward. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I love that so much.
Yeah. I think for so long, we proclaimed with our mouth like, oh, well, if God were to call us, we would go, we would step out confidently. We would do all these things. He just needs to make it so clear and then we'll just do it. And then it happened. And God's like, okay, you said you were going to do it. Like, are you?
Right.
Is this where you said you would trust me? You'd follow me anywhere.
But I love just the practical step of just every time you felt afraid, y'all would stop and pray. And I think sometimes we just think, oh, but that just sounds so simple. Yeah.
That's what it does. I know. Like God doesn't make it complicated for us to bring our fears and our anxiety and our worries. Like he's not a far off distant God. Like he knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows like when we're scared, and he has made himself completely accessible to us. Mm-hmm. And that's like whether or not you are hearing straight from him or whether he's calling you, you know, with a loud voice, like he is so near and close. And that's, I love what you said, Portia, like it's so easy just to pray. Like it sounds like almost like too simple to be true.
Right. Right.
But like, that's the God we serve.
I love that.
That is the essence of our relationship with him, mm-hmm. is prayer. Mm-hmm. I, you know, more and more, I heard this guy say that prayer is the hydration of our faith. And without prayer, belief or faith is like running a marathon without water.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's so good.
It's painful. It's you yeah. can't do it. You'll exhaust. You'll give up. You won't finish totally. The race.
Mm-hmm.
And I was picturing that, and I'm like, okay, if life, you know, per se is a race and we're running it, if we don't stop and pray, we're not hydrated, we're not lubricated, mm-hmm. we're not, you know.
Yeah.
But when we do, okay, come on, mm-hmm. keep running. Now, it's not yeah. easy. And one thing I love about your story, man, is you differentiated between, he made it clear that you were to do this, but it didn't make common sense, really.
Wow, that's good, Katie. Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
Right? It doesn't totally. Necessarily, if he's calling you, it doesn't mean like everything has to line up, Lord, or I'm mm-hmm. going to say it's not you, you know.
For sure. I know. I think oftentimes as Christians, we perceive that if God's calling us to something, it's going to be easy. It's going to be simple. It's going to be straightforward. But yeah.
And definitely. Usually it's the opposite.
It
yeah.
is.
I mean, if I remember correctly, God says, you know, pick up your cross and right. you know, follow me. And right. I'm not going to say that's going to be an easy and comfortable thing to do.
Right. Yes. Deny yourself, follow
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the thing we want to jump to what you said at the beginning, talking about the position you have at Lifeway, that mm-hmm. I get to do this job. Yeah. I love that I get to get up and go to work in the morning. And that is the gift and the blessing that God gives us as we walk through the hard times. You know, Matthew 11 talks about, come to me that all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, because my burden is yes. easy and my burden is light. So when we do it God's way, yes, oh. There are some challenges, but there is so much yeah. blessing in the yes. just following his steps.
Yep.
That's what I'm hearing in your story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that the circumstances doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but the peace and the joy that he offers in the circumstances is better than any quote unquote good circumstances the world can offer. Yeah. And so I'll take his peace and joy any day of the week, over comfort and security. And yeah.
That's this powerful. Is, I'm sure that we have listeners that are trying to navigate life decisions and life choices. Yeah. What would be like one or two things, even three things or more, however many you want, that you would say to, because I know that it's, God doesn't do the same thing with every single person, but he's a principled God. And there are yeah. principles that mm-hmm. are the same from person to person. So what would you say to our listeners about, okay, if you're making decision, you're trying to hear God with what you want, what you think, how would you counsel them?
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things that come to mind. One is, again, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't have to make sense, but like, if you have peace from God, like that peace that you can sleep at night knowing that this is the right thing. I think that's huge. There was never a time where, you know, we were like, are we making the right decision? Because other than like our own like fears and stuff can creep in. But at the end of the day, when I lay my head at night after I made the decision, if that peace, if I could sleep at night knowing that Jesus was taking care of it, and I was able to verbally out loud say, I trust you, God, that mm-hmm. peace is there. Then I knew that it was from him. And I knew that he was going to carry me. I think a lot of times as Christians, we think like, oh, like, okay, is God calling me to A, B, or C? And mm-hmm. sometimes, like, I think we forget that, like, we're not that good at being God. We don't get to just like come up in our, we don't get to come up in our head what A, B, and C are. Mm-hmm. And so I think oftentimes it's just a matter of being obedient to him and walking through any of those. Like, I don't think there's like a, well, if you go through B, it's not God's will for you. Or if you go right. through C, this is not God's will for you. It's just a matter of whatever one you're going to walk through, walk in it confidently in the peace and the joy that he offers you.
That's so good.
Cause yeah, that's a hard one.
I love that you said that, Amanda. Listeners, I hope you caught on to that, because truthfully, trying to discern the will of God, especially big decisions, you can get freaked out. You can freak yourself out, lose all peace, be all filled with anxiety, and God doesn't want that for you. Right. And I remember hearing Matt Chandler say that, like, who you're going to marry. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, people will say, well, Lauren, his wife, Lauren, was the one that God wanted him to marry. That's it. That was his will for Matt Chandler. He goes, okay, think about this logically. If that is true, then what if just one person in the universe marries the wrong person? Mm-hmm. Now, that person has taken the right person that so-and-so was supposed to marry. So now that so-and-so has to marry someone else. And then that has to marry someone else and marry someone else. And he's like, no. Now, did he pray about marrying Lauren? And did he, you know, but if Lauren had said no, or he had, you know, he's not ruined God's will.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's the same thing it goes back to trusting him. He loves you. He knows you. He will let you walk through that door. If it's the wrong door, he's not going to slap you and go, okay, you ruined your life.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sorry, you're on your own.
Sorry, bye, you're on your own. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, you picked the wrong door and too bad for you. You don't know. He's a big, beautiful, gorgeous God leading, guiding, shaping, you know. We can have so much peace in that. Now, I do think that verse, you know, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Mm-hmm. I do think when you are making a decision against the known will of God,
you
will not have peace.
No, not at all. Yep.
But there's a lot of freedom in how he's leading you. Anyway, keep going. So that was one thing of advice you would say to people.
Yeah. And I, with the peace thing as well, is that, like, I think about Philippians 4:6, where it says, you know, do not be anxious, but with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I think we want peace, but oftentimes we don't want to go to God in prayer over it. We want to go from anxiety to peace, but there's this middle thing that God's offering us. So I think prayer is super important when it comes to, like, knowing what God is. I think we go to our friends, we go to social media, we do, you know, X, Y, and Z to figure out what God's will is. We go to college, we go to a trade school, whatever that is. But man, God, again, we said this earlier, but God has made himself accessible to us through prayer, and that's where that peace comes in. So that's huge. And another thing is just godly people to come alongside you and pray for you. Both of our parents know the Lord, and so that was huge, of just having, like, godly wisdom from them to just speak into us and to be like, are we crazy? Like, you know, like, is this healthy for us to be in this place for a long term? And for them to say, yes, you know, you need to, you know, it's time for you to move on, and this kind of thing. It was really nice. Like, I feel like God does give, like, older men and women to us to guide us and direct us. I don't think that it's like we have to do life alone or to, like, navigate God's calling alone. That was huge for us. It's just having older men and women just to speak into
us. So important. So
Proverbs talks about that there's safety in the multitude of counselors, of many counselors. Yes.
So good.
And I love that you said godly men and women. And while our peers are good, I think it's so important to go to those who have more experience in life, because they either have been through something similar or just experience just helps. Yeah. You take experience plus just godly character, and that's a good counselor, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and there's something about an older person who can take out the emotion. Like, sometimes if I go to my friend, I'm like, did you hear what happened at work today? Like, they're going to be right in it with me. But something, if I go to my mom, she's going to be like, have you thought logically about this for a second? So just something where they can take a step back, because they've already walked through, they can remove the emotion and say, let's just think clearly for a minute. That's huge.
Beautiful.
And I bet your parents also, they have the maturity to say, man, we're going to miss you. But we want you to pursue the call of God on your life more.
Yeah.
There's FaceTime. There's planes. We can hop in the car. You know,
it was harder than that for my mom. I think she's still in mourning that we're not here.
Which is natural.
But my husband's parents are in Pensacola. So we're technically 8 hours closer to them than we were in Virginia. So they did a little bit of a happy dance.
I love that. So follow the peace.
Yes.
Prayer is so important because we can't go from the worry and anxiety and jump to peace without the prayer.
Amen. And fellowship. I mean, specifically, you talked about advice from older, but I heard Rick Warren talk about the big giant redwood trees in California. And he said they're so tall that you would think that their roots would have to be really big and really deep. And he said, but actually what makes them strong and sturdy is that their roots go out and they grow in groves.
That's so cool.
And so their roots entangle with all these other trees, roots. They're all, the roots are all entangled. So he said he saw this redwood that was half burned down. You know, half the forest fires out there and half the tree actually burned, but the other half kept growing and sprouting leaves. And where does it get its strength? From the root system. Mm-hmm. But that root system is intertwined with other roots. And I don't know why that analogy grabbed me. Okay, Katie, listen, you're going to have trials and tribulations in your life. There are going to be storms that come on you, but you can stay steady. You can even flourish, have leaves, you know, bear fruit.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the keys is staying connected, connected to other believers, staying in fellowship and, you know, entwining the roots that I'm trying to put down deep in the Lord, but entwining them with other people whose roots are down deep in the Lord. And then they're staying.
I love that.
Yeah, even Portia, or, you know, at the beginning we were talking about you, me, and Susan being a threesome in doing this podcast and doing a ministry.
Yes.
It's so beautiful. None of it rests just straight on each one of us.
Yeah.
Because our roots are kind of intertwined, and then God works in such a beautiful way, and there's so much more joy in that.
Yeah.
Right?
It makes me like, I'm thinking of basketball and volleyball drills, y'all, that we like three-man weaves and for the basketball players out there. And then you make the shot, you rebound, and then you go back, you weave back and forth, and you go back down and do it again. Mm-hmm. And then in volleyball, where you're passing, you follow your pass, and you're intertwining with the three people that you have. And I just think about when we're working together, you have to pay attention, you have to communicate, and you have to follow somebody's lead. And isn't that just the beauty of community? It happens in the world, but within the body of Christ, I mean, it happens in so many different microcosms and subsets. And I love how we are so interdependent on one another, not codependent, but interdependent.
Right. Amen. Yes. Amen.
We had just a really sweet church family, in Virginia at our multi-site campus. Just, I mean, I grew up here. So like, these were my people, like this was, I mean, I always had somebody, people knew who I was when I walked through the door. So leaving that and then trying to find community was so intimidating, and trying to find a new church. And I just think about, like, you know, when we talk about community and stuff like that, it's really hard when you don't have community, and it's even harder to find community, but it is worth it. We spent about 7 months like looking for a church. We tried different churches. We just like weren't sure. And as soon as we found a church that offered us a small group with people in our life stage and friends, it was just like that changed the entire game of what we were doing and who we were and my marriage and how I am a mother. Like, it changed everything. So, you know, I think about the women who are out there who are like, I need to find community, but it's really scary and it's hard. Like, I get that. Like, it's especially if you've ever moved before and had to start over.
Yes. Like, very, very, very good points, Amanda, to everybody. Prayer, fellowship, and
peace.
And really trust. Mm-hmm. Trusting him. And then the peace comes. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Thank you for giving just the manual, if you will, for how to, because this is the deal. I feel like that people ask this question all the time. It all comes back to, how do you hear God? How do you know that you hear God? How do you know that you're making the right decision? And because you have just recently walked through it, and we'll continue, because guys, this isn't a one-time thing. it's a continual, because it's a relationship, and we ebb and we flow, and God shows us different things. I love that you were able to share that with our listeners. If you had one last thought or idea from this season of your life, and that what you've shared with us, I mean, from like, you were going to be a camp counselor for the rest of your life. That's what you wanted to do. To being a church admin. And I would like to point out, no disrespect to the other pastors who are like, why are you going to seminary? But I applaud you for knowing what God spoke to you. I applaud you for going, no, I think there's something more that God has for me. Because even going into that job, you said, this isn't my forever. This is just right now. So, and then moving through that, going through seminary, applying, not hearing anything, getting married, that happened before then, getting pregnant, having a baby, and then, hey, we love you at Lifeway. Come move. Yeah. No, 3 weeks, no less.
What? And you know what? That might be one other little word, Amanda, from your story to listeners. Sometimes I think as young adults, we want the dream job right away.
Immediately.
Actually, probably all of us do. And then if it doesn't come, be willing to take those jobs that aren't exactly right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look back on my own work history, it's kind of similar to yours. You know, I got hired as a children's ministry admin. I'm like, I don't really type per se, you know, this could be bad, you know, and I don't, you know, I really had no admin skills, but that was the job that was available. And it was such a beautiful stepping stone, learning curve. I don't know. Yeah. And then I did student ministry and we went to CentraKid. I mean, Centrifuge is CentraKid. Yeah. When I did children's ministry, we did CentraKid. And then we did Centrifuge and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, yeah, I went in and out of a variety of ministries. But
I know that feeling.
All the way to my dream job, being on a podcast.
I know. I love it.
Anyway, so.
I love how we did that overview for you, for your own life.
Oh, it's so good.
But what would you say to our listeners? What would you want them to take away from your story?
You know, I think back to that first summer of CentraKid where God just planted the seed of desire in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know, like, God, what are these feelings? Like, how can I love teenagers, but also love children's ministry, but also love curriculum, but also love the local church? Like, how are you on earth going to pull this all together? Like, is this life, my time at Lifeway, you know, why is this purposeful? You know, why am I having to learn this program as an admin? Like, what are you doing here? And I think, if I could, you know, say anything, it's just that God knows your heart and he's not going to waste a thing. And, I don't know. I think about, I have a lot of girls minister friends that, you know, have just a passion to teach, and they have a passion to, you know, stand up and teach God's word, and that there's just not a platform for where they are right now. And what my favorite part of my job right now is to look at them and say, like, God sees you, he knows you, and he is not wasting where you're at. And so would I go back, you know, and do it all over again? Sometimes I say, like, no way I could ever go back. But looking at how God used every year, you know, the hurts, the goods, the bads, you know, all of it, how he used it to bring me to this moment, I got to see God better than I think I would have if I had just gotten to jump into a dream job, you know.
Right.
Like, I know every day that I don't deserve to be here. You know, like, I think, like, you told me 2 years ago that, hey, you would get to be a Lifeway Girls brand specialist and running a social media account, a blog. Like, I am not a social media person. There's no way on earth. But, like, God knew, like, all along that, like, you know, he knew that I loved church leaders and that this was going to be the best way for me to equip them. And so I don't know. God saw all along where I would be today, even when I didn't. So, and he was preparing the way.
I love that so much.
One last thing for me, mm-hmm. the big mouth, Portia. Yes. something you said earlier, Portia, you said God treats us all uniquely because we're unique, but he's also a principled God. You said it way better than that, but he operates on principles that are for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so, like with me, I did jump from children's ministry, student ministry, women's ministry, adult groups, this, that. Yeah. And I'm like, Lord, am I schizophrenic? what is happening? And I felt like he said to me, I don't call people to certain age groups forever. I call people to myself.
Wow, Katie.
I don't call people. Okay, you are called. Boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. You're called to walk with me. Mm-hmm. You're called to be my disciple. And the principles remain the same no matter what how you're walking that out. Like for me, I knew he said, like when I first started with student ministry, I said, oh dear Lord, what have I gotten myself into? And I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm doing. He said, love my people. Mm-hmm. And teach my word. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I did in children's ministry. Mm-hmm. That's what I do in women's ministry. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the principles.
Yes.
Love him.
Yes.
Know your heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Yes.
Love others. That can look so myriad of forms.
Yes.
But that's what pleases him, you know, and that is furthering the kingdom. And Amanda, you're doing it beautifully. So thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Amanda. Oh my goodness.
I love this.
Listeners, we pray pretty much every week that you are encouraged and that the story that you've heard today will be a catalyst into something. And so for some of you, it is just going and following the peace that God has given you. For some of you, it's remembering that you need to pray, move from the anxiety and the worry to the prayer so that the peace will come. And then for some of you, you're just doing all this on your own. And God is saying, I want you to use the community that I put around you and seek counsel so that you will pray and the peace will come. Because he's for you. He's not wasting where you are. And we just know that your heart has been blessed from hearing from Amanda today. We are so appreciative, Amanda, that you were here with us. Guys, share this story. Forward it. Because you can send a podcast through text message. You can send it through email. You can copy the link and paste it in your social media. But we are so glad that you were with us today. We love you so much. And we'll hang with you next time. Bye.
Love you, honey, and love all your listeners.